the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Indeed, it's a great challenge, 3 hours, a major prophet and minor prophet. I hope we can go on to continue the battle of this. Because yesterday afternoon, toward the end, brain doesn't work, it's stuck, and then I don't know what to say. Even find out the Bible verse is wrong verses. Okay. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 7. You have noticed that when you look at Hosea chapter 7, there's Hosea, God says there's four things. Chapter 7, verse 4. Like oven heated by the baker. I mentioned it, like an oven heated by a baker's. Old time, maybe oven is a little, maybe different style. There's in the morning, put a lot of woods and then make a fire, burn it, and to make it too hot. So to put the baked bread inside and the baking, and later and bring it out. Usually 10 minutes, and then it make it turn. You know, the bread bring in at 10 minutes, take turns so that you bake properly. Verse 8, another descriptions here mentioned that it's toward the Israelites, these descriptions. Ephraim mixed himself with the nations. Ephraim has become a cake, not turned. You can just imagine, you know, think about the verse 4. Like an oven heated by the bakers, just, and then think about this bread, that the cake become not turned. So you just you're using your imagination and think about this is Israelites. Verse 11. So Ephraim has become like a silly dove. One of sisters came to me and asked, become like a silly dove. What it means? So I didn't know. So dove is dove. Then I found out, last night I was trying to find out the reference book. And the one of a difference, this a dove and a other, the bird, pigeon, and the other birds anyway. The difference is, have you noticed, look at the dove's eyes? The dove is only look at closely, it's a near sight. So when you look at the dove, it's very, you can tell the eyes. But eagle is different. When you see the eagles, it's a far sight. So you can see the very bright. But the dove is very near sight. So that's one thing, the difference. So here, we can imagine that the dove is innocent. Dove is innocent, but nearsighted. So it's the gazing of dove's eyes cannot see far. So what they idea is only just they're very close, their own, near sight. And also, the dove is another instinct of dove is once they see the food, they do not care about their kids. They eat first, and then their kids is later. So that's two, the doves, they're innocent, but this kind of instinct they have. So you can imagine that kind of birds. Eyesight is narrow, the near sight, and only seeking for your own stomachs. That's a dove, you know, kind of. And then verse 16. They turn, but not upwards. They are like a deceitful bow, which is a crooked, you know, it's a crooked bow. When you shoot, you can just imagine, get some imagination, trying to shoot this bow, but it's crooked, so it doesn't go into the right target. So it's turned to the different way. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. So it's a four different kind of description. So you can bring up the imaginations about the Israelites. Verse 4, the first one, they are all adulterers like an oven heated by the bakers, which is, they're so excited. They're excited, they really get, you know, excited, and which is ready to commit sins. That's what they're talking about. So they're so, have you noticed when you buy something, they're so excited? When you buy a notebook, and especially you buy the new ones, and you want something that fulfill your desire just right in front of you. You know, when you go car dealers, you buy the new cars, it's yours, you know. Then before you know, it's you only drive the parents' car, but now it's my car and I buy my, you know, so excitement's there. So when you're about to pay, of course you don't pay, but usually your parents pay, but it's yours anyway. But the moment it becomes yours, you know, that excitement. Same thing that Israelites, when they commit sins, such kind of excitement. They have a desire to take it, you know. This is what I wanted. So what, that kind of heart. So it described as like an oven heated by bake. Yeah, that's what you're talking about. We have in the human nature of three desires. Common desires, you know, three desires. One is a desire of one is a sexual desires. The other ones. Material is what it calls material desires. You want to be a better life, don't you think so? You want to be a better life. That desire. So you want to, if you have a $10,000 canal, next, you know, after a few years, you want to have a $20,000 curse. But later on, you want a $40,000 curse. You want to have a, you know, just keep on moving on to better life. That desire. You and I, I have a desire, and you have a desires. One sister told me that I have a dream that you're going to buy a house. I said, hopefully, this dream come true to me. We have a desire. We have a desire to. So that desire, but we have to control. This, we do not control the desire, then we make a overspeed, then God give a ticket for because of overspeed. The ticket, you know, the penalty is very heavy. So let us remember. So third desire is power, desire power. So here the verse, if you can see from verse 3, 4, 5, you have noticed that this is a desire talking about. Of course, it includes all three different kind of desires, you know, sexual desire. They have a spiritual commit adulteries, but at the same time, their life also included their, you know, sexual immorality in their, you know, in their life also. So another one is a desire of material desires, and the other one is desire of power. So this is part of the one, the power desires. But anyways, include all three of them. These three desires are very strong. I think it's the 20s and 30s. We have to well control our sexual desires. You and I is considered as a great issues. As a Christians, if we cannot control these desires, then it ruins our whole entire life. You know why the holy matrimony, you know, the marriage with the pure marriage is so blessed by God, because once you can within in the God give you certain limit of speed, then you follow the God's way, you find the right spouse, then rest of your life will be blessed by God. You can see the difference, how wonderful it is. When you can control yourself, and then you find out the right spouse for the rest of your life. It's not based upon your lustful desire, but according to the God's will, you find out own spouse. Then this sexual desire helps you to satisfy your life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. All this all include together. So remember, we have to follow the God's speed. We do not over exceed it on speed, then we lose everything. Do not make your such kind of desire to be like overheated by the bakers. Don't get too excited. Don't get make it burn it, so that it ready to commit sins. Material desire also. You and I, we have all material, desires. Because I live in the church. One thing I learned my life. I have a desire. When somebody, when I visit somebody's house, I see the HDTV, then I like to have HDTV. The pastor doesn't mean they always look at the wall, all the time. When I see the Pentium 4, then I won't have a Pentium 4. I don't want a 386. This is a human desires. Don't think that, the past is like a, or just only just my case. So what I'm talking about, desires. You and I, we have a desire, but we control our desire. Otherwise, this material to be, it becomes a force to control our life. Then we cannot see God right away. Based on our ability, based on our limits, we can enjoy our life. You know that the entertainment, enjoyment, our life is not a sin within the limit of God. Don't think that the Christians don't go to the cruise vacations. If you have enough money, you can get the vacation with your family or your spouse. Then you can go to vacations. But we have to understand, financially, God allow you to this much of room for you, then you can entertain yourself. God never rebuked Solomon because his life is materially blessed. And it's not because material coming in, stop, just coming in, just okay, coming in. Because God gave him. When God gave you money, take it. Because God gave you. If you don't take it, because God, when God gave you this material, things in your hands means material plus responsibility together. That means God give you such amount of, entrust in your hands. Take it with a thanksgiving. Thanks for heart. But when you take this materials, you have to understand this is not the priority in your life. This is a part of your life, but you have to know this or how you can utilize for the purpose of God. And this is once we have this idea, material cannot become the idols. But if the other way, the material become turn out to be own idols. The Israelites, they just switch around. That was the problem. Third one is the power. Human has this very evil desire. At the beginning, many people, they're very innocent, and they're very humble themselves, so they do not have such kind of desire. Maybe you think that you one of the three, there's three desires. Which one you picked that you think is easily can handle yourself? Sexual desires, or material desires, or desire of power, Maybe we can say power. You know why we can say power? Because youth is still of innocence. We like to, because we do not have a such strong desire, but later on, when you move on to your life, certain positions, you don't like to get down. You don't want to release the powers out of your hands. Sometimes in the church too. So when later on, when you become a board member, so when you become a deacon and elder ministers, or full-time minister, no matter what, in the church, you have to be very careful yourself. You see where is your position. But some people trying to take your position away, then you can feel what kind of feeling you have. You have to, you need this kind of away from the power, the desire of power away from you, that your life will really be blessed by God. Power, you know, the politics in this world, you can see those people, they most of them, they all receive the higher educations. They know the philosophy. They know the cultures. They know the, they consider themselves not necessarily all the politicians, but many of them, they try themselves to cultivate the man's ways. But still, they have a desire to gaining the power. Once they have a power, a few years later on, they have to release it. One of in Korea, the president, he get the power because he made a coup and then he holding the powers. At first, he become a first president, and he has a 2 stars. Later on, become a 3 stars. After a few months, 4 stars, and he retire. He become a president. Why he become a 4 star? Because he wanted to record it in the history book in Korea as a 4 stars. That's why he get the 4. Because he has a power, it's no problem put the one more star up in it, because it's up to him anyway. So he get the 4 star, he retire, he become a president. Later on, he become a president. So you think about it, he doesn't want to release the power. He enjoys, start to enjoy the power. And then later on, he become a second time the president. And only the constitution allowed the second times. Only the other way to continue his president is change the constitutions. So he changed the constitution, become another and one more terms like this. And then later on, somebody else shoot him, so he will kill. But power, you think about the power. Once the people holding the power, they do not want to release it. You know, even in the family, once you become a father, you think, I have to be respected by my kids. When your kids, they say something to you. Even to say something that, it proper. You know, the kids say something right to the parent. Parent doesn't like to listen from the, to the children. So, quiet. why? Because it is a power struggle. Sometimes we can say the generation struggle, generation gap, father and son. I struggled too before. But, there is a struggling, power struggle. Once you are your children, no matter what parents say, you have no power, you have no money, you have no strength. What are you going to do? You have to obey it. But once you grow up, since you learn something, it seems like a parent's doing is not a big deal. What they're doing is it's not better than me. So you start to come up yourself. This is a power, desire of power too. Even the small amount of our structure of family also have those struggles. When when you get married, the brother or sister, whatever, when you get married, and then for your family, the wife added in your family, then there is a subtle kind of a, because once somebody coming in, then there is a subtle adjustment. This is a power adjustment. Again, power doesn't mean that always is bad, but once it exceedingly to express, then it create the chaos. I have to study in chapter 7. But what I'm talking about is these ones coming in, then start with the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, the relationship. This is also kind of power struggling too. One side that doesn't want to release it. The other one, since I come, I have to take it. And the power strugglings. When sometimes I have noticed in the church, in the kitchens, I have noticed sometimes there's need a boss there. Yeah. If you do not obey, then it's not. So you know there are all kinds of power struggle in it, even among the family, and also in the church also possible. So we have to do our best eliminate this kind of desires from the church. We just willing to serve others, willing to sacrifice to others. As a parents toward the children, this kind of things is nothing to the children. We need a kind of heart like God has. So away, do not let make our heart to be like oven heated by the bakers. Yeah, this is one of the warning that Israelites, they became like oven heated by the bakers. You know, after Jeroboam II died, the following one came up. What his name? Zechariah. 6 months reign over the kingdom, and then these kings just like follow the Jeroboam's sins. So he's a man. Look at him. This guy is evil guys. I better kill him. So he kill him. So I better become a king. So he become a king, and this one rule over the nation 1 year. And his men think about, look at him, and this man is not a big deal. Kill him. So kill him. So the after one come up, that's how it changed later on. They have a desire within these northern kingdoms. As I mentioned, 8 times have this kind of upside down, you know, the power struggling inside. Because they do not respect God. They have desires. In their desire of the power, they cannot see God. You know, we know the kings, this authority supposed to be came from God. We do not seeking our human ways. We know that in the Old Testament, who anointed the kings? God anointed kings. It's not came from the man. It's not came from man. Yeah. Once the person anointed, that means it's not that we, because we like to do, because I have a desire. No, it came from God. And this is what was supposed to. Then everything will be peaceful, but northern kingdom is different. They have a desire. So they have a struggle. Since they have a soul and kill it, I take over. Yeah, that kind of idea. So that the whole entire nations, it turned out to be a chaos. Let's look at the chapter 7, verse 1. When I would heal Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim is uncovered, and the evil deeds of Samaria, for they deal falsely, and the thief enter in, and bandit the raid outside. Chapter 7, verse 1. Verse 2, and they do not consider it their hearts, that I remember all their wickedness. God trying to help them. See the verse 1, when I would heal Israel, means I'm willing to help you. But they say no, which is they do not want him to heal them. Verse 2 says, they do not consider it their heart, which is since they avoid the helping of God, so they do not put things inside themselves. It's not, which is to say, you know, once they start to commit sins, they cannot see God. Also, their conscience can continually to what? Covered by the sins, so they cannot see God. Even though God trying to help them, they don't need help by God. Let's look at this, 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. I now rejoice not that you were made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, in order that you might not suffer the loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God proceeds of repentance, without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the word produces death. I heard it in the previous hours of Pastor Liang mentioned, ignorance is the big problem. Once we have a thing, keep thinking about, and we struggle about, actually improve us. But we, once our faith is away from God, then turn out to be person to be ignorant. But here mentioned that we have to think, we have the sorrowful heart. You know, sorrowful doesn't mean that it's always we should look down, you know, look down on the ground. But we struggle ourselves. Something that we have a problem, that we have to get rid of it with the repentance. So these kind of considerations of Christian life constantly move on to the better grounds. So Hosea chapter 7, verse 2 mentions, they do not consider in their heart because they do not look at themselves. And also the verse 2, they constantly describe that I remember all their wickedness. Now, their deed, this is what God described their now situation. Of chapter 7, verse 2, the last portion says, their deeds, which is their wicked, their sin, are all around them, which is covered their whole eyes and the whole body. They are before my face. They do not know their sin is even, their sin is close to God now, toward to about to the judgment. But they cannot see it. That's how here the verse to describe them. When I read the book of Hosea, one thing I learned: if you have a gift of language, of literatures, you're truly blessed when you read this book of Hosea, because you can bring this up to use your imaginations, the understanding of God, what kind of heart God has. But I am not. So that was I struggled. When I was in school, every time my language exam, then I really struggle. And when I come to the United States, one of the most difficult is English. I really struggle. And English composition class, I really suffer a lot. But if you have that talent and gift, please, book of Hosea, you can read, and then you bring up, you put your pictures in your mind, think about it. And you can learn a lot of things. See, when we have a conscience, we constantly cleanse ourselves and we remove the sin. We have noticed that our sense of detectors in our heart is very sensitive. So anything coming in, you can see it, you can feel it, so you can get rid of it. But once you're coming in constantly, you just accept it and receive it, then this one start to cover yourself. Even later on, you commit sin. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Nothing happened. So continue to commit sins. So we have to be careful. Chapter 7, verse 5, 6, I can skip, I'm sure, because it's not hard to understand. Verse 7, and all of them are hot like oven, and they consume their rulers, and all their kings have fallen. None of them call on me. So they say, all their kings have fallen. None of them call on me. So they do not call God. They do not ask God's help. But whatever they do, politically and economically and spiritually, they just do whatever they like to do. That's their problems. Verse 8. Ephraim mixed himself with the nations. This is one of a major problem of Ephraim also. Ephraim mixed himself with the nations. You know, and when we live in this world, we possibly our life and culture mix with the Gentile also. But we do not bring the idea into our Christian life. Bible is 2,000 years, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, written. by the, you know, ancient people considered, you know, historical sense. But this is the truth. We cannot change the what the Bible says based on the, our knowledge nowadays, based on the philosophy of nowadays. Bible is a solid, itself is a truth. We have to follow it. If we do not have these principles, we're trying to mix with other ideas, other philosophy, then many things we can interpret away from our own point of view, the look at the Bible, and then it turned out to be, it just, a few days ago I heard it, collective faith, my own way to choose the faith. It turned out to be own idol. I believe in God, but I like to, my way to believe in God. See, the Bible never mentioned that we believe in God as our ways. We believe in God, God's ways. This is a true faith. This is supposed to be. But collective faith is we choose the what we need, what we think is good. The rest of them, we don't need it. We have to be careful in our faith. We believe in God, but at the same time, we do not realize we have an idol. Even in our faith, it's possible. So we have to be careful for that. And Israelites, what they did is, because if I'm a Christian, I come to church, I pray, and then I read the Bible, and then I'm trying to showing up to other people, I always holding the Bible. You can see I'm a Christian, right? I'm always Christian. And then go outside, I drive outside, and there's a casino there, I'll go there, and $1,000 make, things too, I suppose not to do, but I enjoy there. But there's two life mixed together. What this means, you cannot even be accepted by this world too. But at the same time, you cannot accept by God too. There's double standard. Christians sometimes can have a double standard. It ruins, it turns out to be useless for not from the worldly point of view and a God's point of view, it's turned out to be useless, both sides. It can happen, son. I just mentioned the verse 8. Ephraim has become a cake, not tons. What do you feel once the bread coming into to the ovens, and only one side of bake it, the other side is not done yet? That means what's inside of the cake? Still not cooked. Make sense? Bottom is burned. Up, it's not haven't cooked yet. So inside, you cannot eat it. So which means that this cake, you cannot dedicate to God. And also, you cannot give it to other people. They want one bite, they threw it away. Ew. Look at the dark side. On the top side, it's just different. It's a double standard. If a Christian has a double standard, we can have if we seeking for the world side and seeking for God's side, but it turned out to be like this, double standard. It cannot be used by God. It cannot even enjoy. Since you do not believe in God, you better enjoy the world, even though you go to hell later on. At least you have, 30, 40 years enjoying this world and you go to hell at least. But if you have a two side like this, even you cannot taste this side, you cannot taste that side. Which is when you later on, you go to heaven then say, oh, there's no name is here. Maybe you go somewhere else. And then the other side have to accept it anyway. But anyway, what I'm saying is make sure, has to be. I'm talking about, the side, two double-minded. It's sometimes wrong way to go. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as a dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greedy, which amount to idolatries. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. So the Apostle Paul mentioned that verse 5 and 6, spiritual idolatries. You know, idolatry is all this included. So spiritual idolatries in the book of Hosea exactly mention about these things. Yeah. So do not ready to commit this kind of sins, first of all. Do not make your oven to be burned, to ready to commit sin. And also, do not make yourself to be cake, not turn. So one side is burned, the other side is not cooked. This is the way that God dislike him. Let's look at the one Revelations. Which church has the lukewarm right? Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Verse 15. I know you did that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you are cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Verse 17. Because you say I'm rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is exactly the situation of Israelites during the time of Hosea, the cake not turns, the both side cooks. They take the one side is a word, take the one side is God, but it cannot be used both side. That's why, if your faith is lukewarm, I just spit you out. And that's what God saying. If you believe in God, and if I believe in God, we have to believe in God positively, yeah, with a commitment. Otherwise, believing God is always bothersome. So. Let's go back to the book of Hosea. Verse 10. Though the pride of Israel testify against him, yet they have neither returned to the Lord their God, nor have they sought him for all this. It mentioned that because they have a pride. All this kind of the sin they commit, and they control by their desire, because of the source is a pride, their pride. Pride of Israel testify against them, but they do not return to the Lord. Any times when we commit sins, we have a humility, then we come to the Lord. Sorry, I'm sorry. One thing I learned that once you got married, you have to learn how to say sorry to the other side. Truly, truly. I remember when I was young, I really I have a pride, so I really don't like to say sorry to my parents. Just passing by. You know? Don't say. But later on, I learned that. Say sorry. You know, the parents, once they have, children hurt the parents' heart, but they don't say. Of course, a parent forgive them. Definitely forgive them. Unconditional as a parent. But still, there's wounded part is there. But when they come, say, I'm sorry. To say sorry once, to cleanse all the wounded part away. God also same things. When we make a mistake to God, we can sometimes unintentionally we make a mistake. So we're trying to to hurt in our God. Then we come to God, sorry, I'm very sorry to God. But not only just your appearance, but from your heart is important. The husband and wife also, we know how to say sorry to each other with from true heart. Many wounded part can be patched. And also, once we say sorry, then we have to change it.
If we don't change them, sorry, they make more crazy about it. When, you know, I say sorry, later on do the same things. And maybe, you know, spouse can allow a few, two or three times. And then after that, I say sorry then. You want to say sorry, you know, one more time or next time, more and more, huh? Which you cannot trust. We have to, when you say sorry, that means it's truly, I'm sorry. Especially to God, return to God. God always accepts us. When you have a sin, with a truthful heart, not only just serve, you know, out of appearance, but from your heart, come to the Lord. Just say, sorry. That helps us to remove our sin away from us. Also, the wounded, the God's heart, also patching the wounded God's heart. And chapter 7, verse 11. So Ephraim has become like a silly dove, or without sense. And in the Bible, describe the children of God as a two. One is a sheep. Have you noticed sheep? Sheep is very innocent. Sheep is innocent. They're very innocent. Sheep. They're very innocent. They're really innocent. They have no offensive weapon for them. Even skunk has offensive weapons, defensive weapon, both of them. You know the one, the rats? Have you catch the rats? Have you experienced? I did. Once you catch the rat, you put in the cage. You know, they just open and put the things there, and they get in there, and no way to get away. And I look at the cage. They trying to attack the man too. I look at it, and they say, wing, they say. They really do it. Even the rat, it's such a small animal. You can see the teeth, how sharp it is. And you say, ooh, what's scary. It's the way to kill is to put in the water, let it stay in the water for several minutes, come out, and the diet is through. Yeah. You do not let the rats go away with the mercy. You have to kill them. What I'm saying is here, even animal has that instinct. They have an offense. If they have a threatening of their you know, their things, their body, and you know, then they their life, and then again, you know, offense. But when you look at the sheep, the sheep doesn't have that offensive weapons. They don't have a defensive weapon too. They just need such an innocence, helpless. When I describing here the dove, same things. Dove, how can they defense themselves? Flying, they're much better equipped, you know, the birds out there. So. But this dove is, we Christians are like this. When God chose us, Israel, if you read a chance to read a book of Jehoshua, you know, I choose you not because you're great nations. You are the smallest one, among the smallest ones. But I choose you. God says, I'll make you great nations. It's not because of them. Because they trust in God. Because God is Almighty God. It's not because of them. We same thing like, we are like a sheep. We are like a dove. We're very innocent. You see, I look at all your eyes. You're very innocent. Hopefully I'm innocent too. We all innocent. Thing is, sometimes innocence doesn't help us. Ephraim, the verse 11, has become like a silly dove. If we're losing the sense, if we're losing the sense of relying on God and trusting God, then turn out to be silly self, and just like a dove. We lose everything. And it mentioned that the verse, they called Egypt, they go to Assyria. Which is such a way, like a foolish way, they're seeking for their securities. They do not know which one is true security. So they go to such as the false security. They're looking for Egypt and Assyria. End up, they destroy. They just lost everything. So don't be like a silly dog. So verse 12, this is the describe of dove, how they catch a dove. When they go, I will spread my nets over them. I will bring them down like the birds of the sky. I will chastise them in accordance with the proclamation to their assemblies. Verse 13, woe to them, for they have strayed for me. Destruction is theirs, for they have rebelled against me. I do redeem them, but they speak lies against me. Which is God trying to helping them, but they resist actually against God's the wonderful redemption. They do not take it. The last one, let's go to the verse 16. They turn but not upward. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes will fall by the sword because of the insolence of their tongues. Deceitful bow, which is crooked. How you can think about this one? It's a crooked bow. It cannot go straight, is it? The wrong directions to hit the wrong ones. God says, hit that one, and then you say, on the way, change of mind, turn to the other. You know the meaning of sin, in Old Testament's the original meanings, the sin means miss the target. So this means describe of their sins. Verse 15 says, although I trained and strengthening their arms, yet they devise evil against me. God gave us a talent. God gave us a search. Each one has a skill and talent and gift and money and all these things God gave us, which means God gave us a strength. God using our strength to shoot the target for the God's purpose. But we got the strength. God gave us strength. And then I came to the United States. I received education. I got the notebooks. I got the car. And I received, I got a good job. But everything I have, life is not bad. Until the moment you say, oh, God. And once you have it, target changed, for myself. Before I say, oh God, if you give me, I do this, I do that. So suddenly I have everything, or better change the targets for myself. Don't do that. This is what talking about this. God gave you strength of your arm. For His purpose, shoot the target for the God's glories. But once on the way, I have a strength. I have a less, think about it, change to my directions. This is a sin, we can say. So when you're in tour to the later on, when you have children, remember when your children they practice piano, remember what you're learning is for glorify God. It's not for your own. So keep kind of reminding them. When they play violin, then, wow, my kids can glorify God later on playing with the singing hymns. So you have to keep implying to the kids what they're doing is for God. It's not for their glories. This is we can train our, so which is the next generations, which is your children later on to be like NYTS. How many years later on then? 30 years? 25? 30 years. I'm retired then. So we can think about this, strength. You have it. God give us a strength, but use for God. Don't change the target. What Bible keep telling us the message, whatever we have, do for the Lord, for His glory. This is the purpose of our life. That's why God choose us, bring us into His promised land. No ring the bell?